Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. Follow them on Instagram at MintInc_USA and look out for the next issue of Mint Mag.
So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue.
So everybody, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 34. Very excited for this episode. I think it's going to be a really good one. It's actually with me. I decided to do a solo episode. I haven't done a solo episode since the beginning, since the beginning of the podcast in October of 2019. So I just wanted to do an 8-month update on how things are going with me as an investor, as a long distance investor. I know something people have been wanting to hear more about. So I kind of dive into a lot of that. But otherwise, it was a good week. I had an Instagram live with Ariel Adams, who can be found on Instagram at The Money Realtor. We had an Instagram live about branding your Instagram, which is something a lot of people have been interested in doing. So we had about 500 people on the live, and she answered a lot of questions about branding and things of that nature. So that was very good. She also spoke a little bit about her ebook, which is called From Instagram to Instant Money. And it's a book that I purchased, and I implemented it immediately. I read it in like a day. And so, you know, it's in the show notes. It can be found. You'll just go to Learn How to Monetize Your Instagram. It'll open right up to the book From Instagram to Instant Money. I highly recommend purchasing it if that's something that you're looking to do. In under a year, she's grown her Instagram to over 45,000 followers. She's monetized it tremendously. I believe she made 40,000 in about a month with digital products. So if that's something you're interested in, definitely get into it. And the great part about money from side hustles is that you can use it for real estate. So that's why I try to make sure I talk to people and have resources for you all that can help you with that. Also, don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. It'll help us move up in the rankings and reach more people. So whichever platform you're listening on, I encourage you to leave us a rating, leave us a comment, and I'll definitely check it out. Otherwise, without further ado, let's get into this episode. Looking forward to seeing what you all think. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Here with me, I have myself. Figured it's been 8 months since I've been a real estate investor, 8 months really since I've started the podcast. So I just figured I would give y'all an update on how things are going for me as a new long distance real estate investor. Also have some questions. Put up a poll in my story. So I have some questions from people as well. But yeah, today I just wanted to give y'all an update on the highs, the lows, what I would do differently, things of that nature as it relates to real estate investing. And also for those of you, maybe you're newer to the show, maybe you haven't been tuned in since the beginning. If you haven't, I recommend listening to the introduction episode because I give like a detailed overview of my purchase and all that information. So I won't spend too much time on that today. Today will be primarily focused on, you know, what has happened since then, how things have been going since then. And so definitely excited to share more, but I'll share a quick overview. So I purchased a single family home in Dayton, Ohio. I closed on October 15th of last year. And I live in California. I live in Inglewood, California, which is near LA. And I decided to make my first real estate investment long distance. And so the introduction episode, I'll get into a whole lot of like the numbers and how all that stuff went. But I'll say the process was pretty swift. The closing process was pretty smooth. Didn't really have many hiccups. Most of the stuff that needed to get taken care of got taken care of. So it went pretty well. But I'm a first-time landlord, first-time investor. And so I want to share some of my reflections 8 months in. And so as you know, or as you probably would assume, I use a property manager. I do know people who manage on their own long distance, but that's not something that I was really interested in doing. But, you know, I worked with a property manager. And property manager, there have been some minor issues. For the most part, I don't really talk to them. The money comes in on a particular date, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, there have been some hiccups. There were some hiccups early on. And the first thing is that there was, so my tenants pay a certain amount. They pay $900, and on top of that, they pay $50 in pet rent. And I remember early on, I got the rent minus the property management fee, which is 10%, but the pet rent was not included. And so I had to reach out to them and just figure out what was going on. And fortunately, they were able to just fix it on the next draw. So the money usually comes around the 10th of each month, and the mortgage is taken out automatically, I think, prior to that. So within the first week of the month. So, I mean, it was kind of irritating because from my perspective, it's like, yeah, I shouldn't be making these kind of mistakes. But on the flip side, you know, I have some understanding. I'm like, you know what? If it got fixed, it's fine. And I mean, I'm thankful. I'm very blessed to say I never missed a payment from the property manager. I never missed a payment from the tenant, even through all that's happening right now in the world, in the country. Tenant, as far as I know, has continued to pay. But I mean, yeah, I mean, the property manager's been pretty much taking care of everything. And for those who maybe are a bit newer to real estate investing, the property manager basically collects the rent. They take care of any repairs that need to be taken care of. All the tenant facing stuff, they take care of. Like, I've never spoken to the tenant. I've never met them. I know their names because of the lease and what's in their system, but that's pretty much it. You know, it's pretty hands off. They take care of everything. I step in if I feel like they're not doing their job, which I feel like I've had to do a few times. And I remember there were some times where they were not as responsive. There was a period of time when they were very responsive to any questions or requests I had. And there are some times where it kind of lagged. I think I'm kind of in the midst of something like that now. The property manager started sending these weekly owner reports, which includes, because they have a system. I think it's Buildium. Basically, it shows you the financials. Like, you can pull different reports and stuff. And for my taxes, they sent me all the information I need, the forms that I need to submit to my accountant. But in the most recent owner update, they sent me, you know, the financials for the month. And also I saw a work order. And a work order is when a tenant submits a request of something to be repaired. And in this work order, the tenant was saying that the fence has been falling apart bit by bit since December. And she thinks a handyman came. She's not sure if it's being worked on. And so I followed up on that last week. I said, hey, you know, I think I followed up Tuesday. I said, hey, what's going on? This is what I saw from the tenant. Like, it seems like it's been an issue for a while. Can you look into it? And they've added more people to their team. So it's possible that now the flow of communication might be slower, but I'm planning to follow up again today. But it's little things like that. You know, from my perspective, with the information that I know, it's like, you know, somebody should have been working on that. But all in all, I can't complain. You know, they've been a pretty good company. They've done what they're supposed to do for the most part. It hasn't been any major red flags. Sometimes I've thought about, well, I could probably do this myself, like manage the property myself. They haven't had to do any repairs or maintenance or anything yet. So, you know, on one hand, they're doing like the admin work and stuff like that. But, you know, I guess it kind of gives me peace of mind that I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to think about it. I just have to collect the money. And that's pretty much it. So, you know, overall, the property manager has been good. It has saved me time. You know, I kind of just go through them for anything. But thankfully, I mean, I haven't had to do any major repairs or maintenance or anything. They do have a reserve for me of about $500 that they can use in the event that they need to repair anything. But if it's above a certain amount, they have to ask for my approval. So, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But, you know, I'd say the experience has been great. You know, it's given me a network of other investors in the area. I remember when I first posted that I purchased the property, this is around the same week I started the podcast, and I got DMs. Like, I got to know people who invest in Dayton. So I know three other investors who invest out of state in Dayton. I know a woman who used to invest long distance, but now she lives there. She's actually done a couple of drive-bys for me. She doesn't live too far from my property. Actually, I asked her to do one again. So it really opened me up to a whole new world of people, which I think is amazing. And I think it's really cool. And also the conversation is different, right? The conversation I have with people is different because I own a home, I own a property. So the conversation is different. You know, people perceive you in a different way, which is not something I thought about, but it was a byproduct of getting into the game. And I think people are always interested when they find out that it's long distance and they find out that I haven't been to Dayton since last summer. You know, when they find out that I don't know the tenant, I don't even know how they look. But, you know, for me, it's like showing that it's possible. You know, I know a lot of other people who do it, of course, through the podcast, but, you know, for the average person, it's something that's taboo. So for me, I'm glad that at least the people that I know, they know someone who has done it. They know someone who has invested long distance. They know someone who has invested in general. So, you know, a lot of times in our community, we don't think things are possible until we see someone who looks like us do it. And so that's something that I'm thankful for. And that's a really cool byproduct, again, that I didn't expect. And also, like, my whole closing process was remote. I didn't go over there once during the closing process. Like, I had an inspector who was fantastic. Somebody on Bigger Pockets recommended him. He was fantastic. Like, he went through that thing with a fine tooth comb, and I felt very comfortable with the purchase, even though I never stepped foot into that particular house. Like, I seen the outside of it when I went out there to visit, to look for properties in the summer. I don't think it wasn't ready yet, but, you know, the pictures are pictures, right? But the inspection really tells you what the deal is with the property. And so my inspector was fantastic, and that really helped me feel comfortable. I was able to send back my list of requests of things, of additional things for the seller to fix. And, you know, that was great. You know, that was great. I'm very thankful for that. And I told them, you know, I think I called them recently. I thought I had another deal, but I called them recently. I said, look, you know, I'm not going with anybody else but you. And, you know, you just did such a good job. So it's interesting that through what's happening right now with the virus and everything, a lot of people for a period of time had to do remote closings. And it's like, I kind of feel like I was not ahead of the game, but I guess ahead of that kind of thing being widely spread or widely understood, at least from my perspective, because a lot of people had to do remote closings. A lot of people had to look at homes remotely and things of that nature. And so for me, I'm like, well, thankfully I had the opportunity to do that already. And I know what to expect, you know. I'm very big on vibes, and I didn't feel like anybody was trying to do any funny business throughout the whole closing process. You know, the lender, the seller, everybody, you know, the title company, everybody was involved. Everybody was giving me updates, answering the questions I needed. Nobody was trying to hide anything from me. All the questions I needed to know were understood, things of that nature. So I'm thankful for that. And you know, you're probably also wondering, well, you know, what would you do differently? That's a very good question. So in life, everything you do is based on what you know, right? The decisions you make, how you go about things is based on what you know and what you think is best. And, you know, for me, there was a lot I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that it's like little things. Like, I didn't know that mortgage, taxes, and insurance was all in one payment. So I paid the insurance up front for the whole year. And the lender said, hey, Sam, do you know that it's actually all included? Like, you don't have to pay that separately. It's included in your mortgage payment and we pay it. So that's one thing I didn't know. The second thing I didn't know was about property taxes, and that was also included in the mortgage. So I think even a couple months ago, I did know it was included, but still, like a couple months ago, I said, hey, I know the property taxes are biannually. How do I pay it? And they said, oh, don't worry about it, Sam. Well, you already paid it. You paid it from your mortgage. You know, there's a certain point, there's a certain portion set aside that's scheduled to automatically pay your taxes for you. And so that's some of the things I didn't know. But you know, my motto is you don't need to know everything. You need to know enough to get to the finish line. And something else I'd say I didn't know about is like return on investment. So how much, like what's a good period of time to make your investment back, to make your return back? I didn't really know about that. I just knew, hey, all right, this thing's going to cash flow this amount. This is kind of the cash flow I'm looking for. Let's do it. But I didn't consider things like I didn't consider things like return on investment and how fast I'll make back my initial investment. But all that to say, you know, the important thing is that I took action. And this is something that I stress a lot with people too. Every decision is not going to be 100% perfect, but you got to look at what you're going to learn from it. You know, whether you're investing locally, whether you're investing long distance, you're not going to see everything. You know, I think as long as the big picture, the big ticket items are taken care of, then that's totally fine. So that's my motto. But you know, there's not too much differently I would do. Something else, as I started to meet more people who invested out there, I started to meet more people who did maybe light or no rehab for a fraction of the cost of how much my property was. But the problem is that the research I did and looking on BiggerPockets, for example, they're saying, well, if you get properties in certain areas below a certain price, it's not a good property. And it couldn't be further from the truth, because I know plenty of people who are having success with cheap properties, essentially. You know, some people just put it in carpet and they just painted and it's ready to go. So I didn't know that at that time. I wish I did. You know, I would have been able to probably get two properties for the same amount of money that I put down. But, you know, I think it's fine. You know, again, I can always change for the future. And if I didn't make a purchase, I wouldn't have even been opened up to all those people. So that's what I would say. And then, you know, what I would keep the same is I would still have done it. There's one more thing I would have done differently. I live in an expensive market and I didn't think that it was possible to invest there. But again, doing the podcast, making the investment, opened me up to people who use different down payment programs to invest in large markets like LA, you know, the FHA program, the NACA program, and different grants and various forms of down payment assistance that I didn't really have a good understanding of at that time. But, you know, through the podcast, I see what's possible. So that is kind of informing my goals in the future, which we'll get into in a little bit. But like I said, what I would keep the same is I would still do it. I think it really changed my life. It changed my thinking. It changed what I believe is possible. It changed how people perceive me, not that people saw me as a bad guy, but it's like when people see you as an investor, the conversation is just different. You know, the respect and how they view you is just different when you're in certain rooms and certain conversations. So that's pretty cool too. So I would just do the same thing. And, you know, a lot of people said I was crazy. You know, a lot of people didn't understand, and I get it. You know, I don't know anybody else personally who has done something like this. So usually when you're the first to do something, when you're the leader of the pack, when you're the trailblazer and so forth, people are not going to understand. And that's something I had to accept. You know, a lot of people thought I was crazy for not going into the house, for not being there during the closing period. But the reality of it is I have a job. Right? I have a 9-to-5. I can't be there for everything. Especially if it's long distance. And I'm not going to hold up the process because I can't be there. You know, I learned how to do it remotely. I studied people who had done it. I read every resource about it. I did everything I could to educate myself as much as possible to be a long distance investor. But yeah, I would still do it. I wouldn't you know, I would be more open about it after the fact, because I did a lot of it underground, if you will, because I didn't want anybody to stop me. I didn't want anybody's limiting thoughts to stop me. So I think once it was closed, I would have like been more open about it and told more people about it and talked more about it. But yeah, other than that, I would do the exact same thing. And my advice is just don't listen to people who haven't done what you've done, because there could be somebody who invested locally. It's a different game than investing long distance. Or there could be somebody who invests long distance. It's a different game than investing locally. So I would take the advice from people who have not specifically done what you've done with a grain of salt. You know, seek out the experts, seek out those who have done what you want to do at least one time. And they could serve as a great source of motivation, a great source of information along the way. So yeah, I would say just stick with your guts, and you have to take action at a certain point. You can only listen to so many episodes of a podcast. You could only read so many books. You know, if your finances are in a place where you're able to make a move, do everything in your power to do the best you can to make a good decision. And so as far as my future goals, my next goal is to buy a multi-unit property in LA through the FHA loan, which allows you to put 3.5% down. So I actually started looking last week. I know it might take an extended period of time because it's a very competitive market and there's very specific requirements I have to stay within to get the FHA loan. And in Los Angeles, there's rent control. So a lot of the tenants are paying below market rent. So it's just a matter of finding the right property in the right area with the right numbers and hopefully being able to close on it. So it may take some time. It's definitely going to be a deeper level of research for sure. But, you know, I'm confident that something will work out when the time is right. And I'm exploring other out-of-state opportunities as well, potentially in Dayton, maybe outside of Dayton. So I have that going on. And I'm also part of an investment group called 4R Roots Investments. It was birthed out of a commercial real estate course that I took in the fall called REAP. And so we're in LA. We are currently wholesaling, and we're hoping to use some of that capital to get into larger deals, buy and hold deals in the future in LA. And we also have a couple of audience questions. Put something up in my story. Someone said, would you purchase turnkey again or do it independently? That's a good question. So I would consider purchasing something that needs a little bit of rehab so I could force a bit of appreciation. That's something that I would do, provided that I could find contractors in the particular market. I was kind of scared of that. And for me, like just the kind of personality I have, I wanted to have the safest option. And for me, the safest option was turnkey. So I would buy something that didn't need really much work, but for a cheaper price. I wouldn't buy it from a turnkey company. I would buy it through an agent. Yeah, that's what I would do, because I found an agent through somebody I met on Bigger Pockets who has sent homes for like 50,000 that are turnkey. They're ready to go. So, you know, that's what I would do. But again, I didn't know that at the time. Good question. What is a realistic return on investment long distance, assuming you are using property management? It depends. It depends on how fast you want to get your money back. So if you want to get your investment back in 3 years, you need to factor that into the formula. You need to factor that into your price and all that stuff. So I would say just look at your cash flow and see how long it's going to take in a certain market to get your money back. You know, if you're paying cash, that'll be different than if you're financing or paying a mortgage or seller financing or something like that. So I would say it depends on you. It depends on how fast you want to get your money back. So figure that out first and then work backwards from there. Your method for calculating rehabs. I've actually never done a rehab. I'm looking into getting into that a bit more in the future. But yeah, I don't have a method for calculating rehab, but the person who asked this question, if you do need resources to calculate rehab, definitely check the link in my bio or DM me and I can send you something that'll help you out. But yeah, everyone, just wanted to give an update on how that is going. Generally, it's going well. I don't really do much. I just collect the money every month. It's pretty hands off. there's like the repair thing or whatever, but there's, I haven't had any issues. I mean, I know people who've had nightmares, but for me, it's, they're more or less great. You know, I don't think about it much. I just check to see if the money's in, if it's a little bit late, I follow up and say, hey, what's going on? Sometimes it's a system thing, but yeah, I pretty much just collect the money every month and it's been a good experience. You know, I'm looking forward to adding more doors. I'm looking forward to investing where I live and lowering or eliminating my living expense. But yeah, you know, I'm considering doing a quarterly update. Let me know if that's something y'all want to see. Perhaps I'll do another one when the year comes up, the year anniversary comes up, to see where I'm at and see how I'm feeling about everything. But yeah, haven't done a solo episode in a while. So I hope everybody's healthy. If you have questions or want me to talk about other things, let me know. But hope y'all enjoy. Talk to y'all soon. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.